Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. And I'm glad you're here. Mike Song is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you like that name? Mike is he's a productivity speaker. He talks to people all around the country, halfway around the world, and maybe even out across the galaxy on how to do a better job of being productive, being effective, being efficient, and turning all that into the bottom line. He's a best-selling author. Many of you may have seen him on television as a talking head. That happens sometimes. And he is the co-author, along with Vicki Halsey and Tim Burris, of the outstanding book, The Hamster Revolution for Meetings. And he's our friend, Mike Song. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
I love coming back to your show and helping out small business owners like myself.
Well, I appreciate that because, you know, small business owners are so lovable, Mike. we're so warm and fuzzy. We're lovable, huggable, and small business owners are so worthy of whatever you have to say, Mike. That's the good thing about them, isn't it?
Well, I think what excites me is I do a lot of these kinds of talks for these big global companies. But I feel like small business gets neglected in a sense because, hey, you know, I've got 10 people working for my company. I don't have a $300,000 training budget.
Right.
So I think it's really critical to help out the small business owners because they are the engines of innovation and prosperity in our country. So,
you're singing our song. We agree with you 100%. That's the reason we do what we do. Mike, one of the things that I thought about a while back and that I talk about on the show sometimes is a concept of time, and I like to say that time is the only commodity, and it is a commodity because it's the same for everybody. Time is the only commodity we haven't learned to synthesize. We haven't been able to synthesize. We only have so much of it, and we're going to have so much of it in our lives. And if there's anything, I mean, as much as we talk on the show about how to maximize your cash, which is the next most precious commodity, none of us do enough to appreciate the preciousness and the fleetingness and the way that we need to do a better job of managing time. What do you think?
I absolutely think it's the most hard to define thing when people look up halfway through the day and realize, you know, I've spent my whole day on low priority email. I spent my whole day sort of trying to find some documents that I couldn't locate. That's where a lot of our competitive edge leaks out, I think.
Yep.
And I can't agree with you enough that it is in our management and movement of information and time that really defines us. So I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, you've got some time management ideas that you'd like to talk to us about. Give us some examples.
You bet. Well, for about 20, 30 years, we've had some ideas built up. And you go to any time management class and you hear these ideas. I go out and talk to small business owners, to very large companies, and I ask people, how are you doing applying these ideas? Were they practical and easy to apply? And a lot of people kind of shrug and say, well, I'm sure everyone else is doing it right, but I couldn't do these things. They didn't work out for me. And they feel like maybe they've failed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began surveying people and conducted about 35,000 surveys, and I came to the conclusion that maybe some of this advice isn't such great advice, depending on who you are and what you do. So the first time management myth that's very prominent is this concept of always having zero messages in your inbox or trying to keep it just about at zero all the time. And if you're
no unread messages.
Exactly. The idea
not one single spam. Spam can't lay in my inbox more than 30 seconds or there's something wrong.
Right. Right. And so people are trying to zap this stuff. Now, for some people, that works, and if it's working, I say, do it. Keep going. That's fine. But for a lot of people who, particularly, you know, the presidents or the top people in a small business, they might get 100 messages a day. They might get 75 messages a day.
Right.
So if you spend all your time converting every message, including the low-priority stuff, into tasks, I think what you find is you do a lot more busy work.
Yeah.
So I've been coaching people.
You certainly will be diverted from staying on task or are focusing on the things that are going to move the big wheels.
You bet. And I think we are all obsessed with new information. We love to see the new unread messages in that inbox, and we want to look at those. We have this burning desire to see what's in there. But I think a lot of times the message that's 75 messages down in the inbox is the most important thing you could be working on. So I strongly recommend having a top 20 priority list for the week and really focusing in on that. And it's okay to let a few things build up in your inbox. My advice is to maybe pick a number that you want to keep your inbox below. If you want to keep it under 100 or 50, mm-hmm. have a goal and a target there so you know when you're getting to that point where you're probably missing opportunities. But be comfortable with messages in your inbox. But I think the key thing is to try to flag those messages. So if you have most of the software packages like Outlook or Lotus yeah. allow you to flag messages and then sort by those flags. So if you could have your top 15 or 20 priorities flagged in your inbox and maybe a top 20 list for your super weekly priorities, I think you're doing a good job of focusing on the stuff that matters the most. But trying to be what I call a zero hero, someone who is just so proud that they have no messages in their inbox, you may be doing a lot of busy work, a lot of low priority email. And unfortunately, in an era of information overload, that can lead you away from doing the best thing for your customers and your organization.
Well, you know, one of the things a lot of people keep their email client up and open mm-hmm. and on their desktop. And I've done that. I to some degree, I guess I still do. But a lot of times, more than not now, what I do is I close it. I don't close it up. But I minimize it and take it off the desktop so I don't see the email coming in all the time. And then you'd be amazed at how you can forget about that. You get working on a project and you'll forget about email.
And then
you know, unless you're expecting something really critical any minute now that you have to respond to, I mean most email will wait. It'll be okay if you don't get right to it. But don't you love the people who will send you an email, and it's really important to them, but it's not important to you. They'll send you an email, and then about 23 you know, minutes later, they'll send you another email. How come you haven't responded to my email?
You know, I think what's interesting is email puts everybody else's priorities into our inbox.
Yeah.
And it constantly shifts the priorities. Now, if you're in a small business, you've got five or six things you just got to do.
Yeah.
But they're probably the tough things. They probably require some thought or some persuasion or some outreach or maybe a trip, you know, yeah. to another state to do something. Those are very easy to put off when you have this sort of new stuff that you haven't quite dug into yet.
So cool it on the email, folks. Take it easy. You know, minimize your email client and take it off the desktop. See if, you know, just let it sit there for a while and say, okay, I'm going to, at the top of the hour, I'm going to check my email and see what's going on. Hold on to that thought, Mike. Mike Songer's, I guess, folks, are going to come back after these messages with some more time management ideas. Stay with us.
Some cheap sunglasses. Love is strange.
Little Mickey and Sylvia bringing us back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog while you're there. We have a knowledge base there, askjim.biz. Articles, archives, you got 5 seconds, 15 minutes, anywhere in between on any topic under the small business sun. We got something that will help you there with your business, whether you're starting it or whether you're growing one. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Mike Song is our guest. He's the co-author of The Hamster Revolution for Meetings. We're talking about time management ideas. And Mike, talk to us about some more ways that we can. Oh, by the way, before we go there, though, I want you to tell us how we can find your book, how we can find you guys online.
Oh, terrific. Thanks. Well, the book, Hamster Revolution, all about how we get on that hamster wheel, running in place, not moving your small business forward. The Hamster Revolution, How to Manage Your Email Before It Manages You. You can buy that absolutely anywhere, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, bookstores all over the country, or you can go to GetControl.net. GetControl.net is our website.
All right.
Certainly pick it up there for your people. Great gift for your company if you're trying to make sure they're not spinning their wheels on email.
Buy two because you're going to want to give one away, right, Mike?
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Mike, talk to us about some other ways that we can be a little more efficient with our time.
Well, I think one of the things that I've noticed is that a very popular time management advice is just pick up the phone, which I actually believe that if we have more conversations, we can get a lot more work done, particularly if we're talking to clients.
I'm so glad to hear you say that because You know, I try to point out to people, and I've been writing about this in the last year and talking about it a lot, face-to-face is the original social media. and when I say face-to-face, folks, I'm going to give you credit for making a phone call.
Yeah, I think you're right. And here's what I think where our advice needs to have a modification in this era of information overload. About 72% of all business phone calls are answered by voicemail.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we give up, but that's what's happened. And that's where I think people like you and I, Jim, feel the frustration that people are missing opportunities to connect. All we need to do is if that client is emailing you and you want to get out of that email stream or one of your colleagues is going back and forth in this long thread and we're not getting things resolved, try to give them three times. I call it returning three.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big part of our sales strategy, big part of our internal strategy. Give them three times when you can talk for a couple minutes, quick chat. So I'll say 10 a.m., 2 p.m. today, and 9 a.m. tomorrow. And then I'll tell them, look, e-schedule the time that works best for you. If they're all on the same system, that can be very powerful. Probably a large percentage of your people out there are on Outlook. If you find out that your clients are on Outlook,
yep,
which is an email, office, you know, productivity software, you can e-schedule, e-calendar with
mm-hmm.
them. What we found was when we e-calendar with these clients a small five-minute meeting, they almost always say yes,
yep,
because our line is, look, rather than playing a long game of telephone or email tag, let me just put something, a little dot on the calendar.
Right.
I'll e-schedule that with you once they give me the time that works for them. Boom. Suddenly we're connecting and getting things done. Another time
management. Can I throw something else in here? Mike, sometimes, especially with my customers, mm-hmm, when I know that many of them, you know, working for big companies, their day is not always their own. Rarely is it their own. They get pulled in and out of meetings and things like that. I do something that other people might think is a little different, a little strange. Actually, I do a lot of strange things, but this is one example. I give them my number and I say, okay, let's do it at 10 o'clock, but if you'll call me, why don't you call me when you've got time? I'll be here. And that lets them know that if they want to call me a little early or if they get out of their meeting late, they can fudge the call time. And that gives
great.
That takes the pressure off of them. Even though I'm asking them to make the call, it takes the pressure off of them.
I think it's a great idea. I think that's really terrific.
It's worked well for me, and especially if you can get their assistant to be your co-conspirator.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
she or he is the one who's managing their time. Probably I say, look, here's the, you know, anyway, you see the point. And it works.
I like that. That's fantastic.
So what else? You were going to give us another one.
Sure. A couple other quick ones. There's also this concept of touch it once. It really worked well when we got mostly paper mail. And the idea was you process everything as it sort of comes across the threshold. And so the idea is if you get something from an office supply vendor, you immediately process that. Well, what we have found is that if you actually just batch process some of your lower priority stuff mm-hmm. and get to it every couple weeks, you're much, much more likely to get it done faster, and you're also more likely to be able to focus on key assignments.
We get very little anymore, other than things for the show, people who sending material like your book and things like that. Other than that, we know what that looks like. We get very little mail anymore, other than bills that's important.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
In a whole week, you know, we might get a handful of things that are important in the mail other than bills and stuff for the show. You know what I mean? Something that most – it's amazing how much electronic stuff there is these days.
It really is. And if you try to process it when it comes in, you almost by definition diverting yourself from an important business plan, budget proposal,
right,
you know, sales proposal.
Right.
Those are the tougher things to do, and we find people diverting away from that. Another myth that we've seen is that a lot of time management experts will try to get you to set up a folder system for your electronic mail or your electronic documents or your hard copy
documents.
Yeah,
that's not a good idea.
Well, what they'll do is they'll describe a very complex system with perhaps 40 different folders.
Oh, yeah. No.
And as we've broken down and analyzed the folders, what we found is that they really can be tricky because, let's say...
I got to wrap it up, Mike. How many folders should we have?
Well, I'd recommend narrowing the total number of folders you have down to maybe five or six master folders, master categories that make sense for you. We describe it in our book, Hamster Revolution, which is available at getcontrol.net. And we also have these tips.
Mike, I gotta wrap it up. But folks, check it out, The Hamster Revolution for Meetings by Mike Song and two other important people. Thanks, Mike, for being here. Good job. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.